to David and Jeff's Survivor Podcast. I'm David, and with me, as always, is...
Jeff!
How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm wonderful! How are you, David?
Excellent, excellent. It's been a little while since we podcast, but we are back. We haven't forgotten about you guys. By you guys, I mean listeners. All two of you.
Both of you guys. You're dear and near to our hearts.
Yeah. But, we took a week off for Thanksgiving break, and then we had to record this one a little later, but we are still doing it. We're going to be talking about both episodes and things that happened about them. We don't have any guests. It's just going to be Jeff and I, but we're going to be doing them in a slightly different way. We're going to be doing player profiles. We're going to take all of the final 10 and talk about them. We're going to talk sort of... judge them on how they're doing socially, strategically, physically, and everything else under the sun. And we'll touch on things that especially happened in the past two episodes since we haven't talked about them yet. But before we do that, I'm very excited for this next part. Let's get to our highs and lows, Jeff.
David, I'm sure you're excited. Even though we didn't broadcast our choices, we did have highs and lows for the previous week. So, in episode 10, it would have been, which was the episode in which Caleb was voted out. You had picked Tyson, I picked Sierra for the highs. You picked Caleb, I picked Monica for the lows. And that score ended up 5-3. So, you beat me by 2 points there. And then this last week, obviously we didn't broadcast the picks, but we picked over Facebook. You picked Jervis for your high, Katie for your low. I had Hayden and Monica for my high and low. You, for the first time in the entire high-low bracket, I believe, got a perfect score with 6 points. I unfortunately did not. I only got 4 points, which means I am currently at a 7-point deficit, which is pretty rough.
It's pretty rough. Quite amazing. I will say I locked into a perfect score. I wasn't exactly anticipating Katie getting voted out. How can you anticipate a purple rock? But I'm very excited that it did happen, and I'm pretty excited that I think I'm going to win this one. I don't want to be too cocky, but I'm very confident going into the final two episodes.
Yes, well, I need to outscore you by 7 points over the next two episodes, which I don't know has happened over a span of two episodes yet. So,
I would essentially have to not.
Yeah, I'd be willing to accept that, David, if you don't want to pick.
I think I'll still pick.
Okay, well, I get to pick first for high last week. Or this week, sorry. And I'm going to pick Tyson. I feel like he's going to get a lot of confessionals explaining how happy he is that his alliance won. I think he's got a good shot at winning the challenge. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Very good choice. Now, see, where I get into this dilemma of... that's obviously the obvious choice, and now I get this hard thing. I think that both Hayden and Sierra are going to get lots of confessionals. Unfortunately, I'm almost guaranteed one of them is going home. So I sort of have this 50-50 shot. I could pick one to be the high, but they could get loaded out and I'd lose that point. I then go over to Jervis and Monica, and, you know, if that's a 50-50 choice if they're going to get a lot of confessionals. But I think... since they're playing up and trying to swing Monica, I'm actually going to go with Monica for my high. I think she could very possibly win the challenge. I don't think she's going to get voted out, and she could have quite a few confessionals with being this quote-unquote the swing vote.
Okay, David, and your low pick?
My low pick is going to have to be Jervis. I think... while I know I won't get the point of him getting voted out, I don't think he's going to go 2-for-2 in the challenges, and I think he, out of everyone, has the most likely chance of getting the fewest confessional.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Well, I think that I'm going to have to go with something that hasn't happened yet. I think I'm going to have to go with Monica, which means I'm going to subsume your high pick and hope that you're wrong. I feel like we're not going to get, maybe, even though she is the swing vote, we're not going to get a lot of her exposition on the matter. I feel like it's going to be mostly Sierra and Hayden talking about what they're doing to get Monica. Maybe one confessional from Monica saying, yeah, that's not going to happen. and then they move on. So I don't feel I don't agree with you. I don't think she's going to get many confessionals, and it's a balls to the wall move, David, which is what I got to be making. I can't be making safe picks.
Yeah, but at this point, you almost need to get a perfect score. Do you think that that Monica's going to get voted out?
No, but I think Hayden and Sierra are both going to get an incredible amount of confessionals, and I think one of them has a shot at winning the challenge. So.
Very true. Okay. So you're actually going with the slightly safer one.
No, I feel like Monica's a guaranteed 2 points.
Yeah, so that's the safer one.
But I don't feel like anyone's even risking 3.
Okay. Fair.
I mean, like, yeah, I guess technically, yes, the safer pick, but looking at the probability of anyone else getting all 3 points is ridiculous.
Yeah. At this point, when there's only, you know, 5 people still in the actual game, almost everyone's going to get some airtime.
Do you feel like we should increase our confessional score to 4 rather than 3?
Sure.
So now to get your point for confessionals on the high, you have to have 4 confessionals. To get your point for confessionals on the low, you have to have 3 or less.
Okay.
I feel like that's fair.
I feel that's fair too. There we go.
Boom.
All right.
That was totally impromptu.
See if Jeff can pull out a miracle and work his way up to victory. Only time will tell.
That is exactly correct. I'm not nearly as confident as some of the viewers might be.
All right. Well, should we get start talking about Survivor, Jeff?
I suppose.
All right. So, like I said, we're going to be doing player profiles. There's about 8 different things that we're going to be talking about per person. We'll start with the people who have left the game since we have last recorded a podcast, and we'll talk about the people on Redemption Island, and finally we'll talk about the 5 still in the game. So let's start with Jeff's pick to win in 10th place, Metis. Now, let's first, any standout moments from Metis in the past 2 episodes, Jeff?
I enjoyed the Namaste Bitches line. I thought that was just funny.
Yeah, a classic exit line. Really enjoyed it. Got a good chuckle. I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
It's probably up there with the hope you all get bitten by a freaking crocodile scumbags. It's a little bit more well-meaning, though.
Yeah, a little bit more in jest, whereas you were pretty sure Judd was sort of serious.
You have no idea with the smile we would have seen on Judd's face if Jeff Probst announced at the next tribal council that, like, Stephanie had been bitten by a crocodile.
Yeah. I think a huge stand-up moment was, directly related, and was how Laura M., like, told Tina how to win the challenge and sort of prevented Venus from moving on in the game and getting out.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I know, yeah, some people are like, oh, that's not fair, but I think it's just sort of the next step from the, oh, I'm looking over at the other person's puzzle. I think this is just, you know, hey, I'm helping you out now. So I think it was a shrewd strategy move on Laura M's part. I mean, why would you want to compete against me this, you know, going forward? Wouldn't you rather keep Tina?
Right.
It is sort of awful for the person who did it. It was like, Venus was clearly going to beat Tina on their own.
Right.
So I can see both sides of it. It leaves a little, that's not cool in my mouth. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, it's the Survivor. You can't really change it. The only thing you can do at that point, if you don't want to see that again, you need to partition all of them off.
Right. I really like both Vetus and Tina, and you know that. But I am very happy Tina is in the game over Vetus. I'm upset that it perceptually makes Tina look probably like she doesn't deserve to be there. I don't feel that that's the case. I mean, clearly she's put herself in a position where Laura M. thinks that it's better to have Tina on the island, which I think is partially because of Tina's age and gender, and partially because Tina and Laura M. are friends. But I don't like the fact that it makes Tina look bad. But I think it was a smart move by Laura M. It could potentially hurt her jury votes, but I mean, assuming Laura M comes back and makes it to the jury, it's going to give her Katie and Tina's Laura, jury vote for sure. So there's two locked down. You're going to risk Aris and Vetus, but did you have them really to begin with? You're going to get Sierra. So, I mean, I think looking at it, it probably didn't help or hurt her too much, but she can still come back from it.
Yeah. Well, let's keep talking about Vetus for a little bit. How do you think Vetus played strategically?
I think Vetus, pretty good strategically. I feel like he pulled himself, especially right before the merge, pulled himself up from a pretty difficult situation. Post-merge, I think he played a little bit cocky because his brother was there, and, you know, he kind of did the old, well, I'm going to get voted out anyway, so I might as well cause as much chaos as possible move, which I can't say isn't my move. I've done it many times in online reality games, but his pre-merge strategy was definitely, definitely better than his post-merge strategy.
Well, yeah, I think he didn't... I thought he did a really great job strategically pre-merge. Post-merge, I don't really think he had that much strategy. He seemed to fall back and rely too heavily on his brother.
Right.
He sort of laid all of his plans on getting back with Aris, and he trusted Aris, who Aris trusted, instead of, you know, actually building those relationships with the people. You know, he just assumed when Aris said, oh yeah, they're good with me, well, they're good with me too then. So I think that was ultimately his downfall. So if I were to rate him strategically, I think before the merge, he was one of the top. Like, he was playing a great strategic game. But then all of a sudden, you know, he got reunited with his brother, and then he fell apart.
It seemed like he was throwing away his pre-merge game after the post-merge. Like, he did all this work pre-merge to get in a pretty okay position, and then just decided to throw it all away. So, I don't know how I feel about that strategy, but pre-merge, definitely good.
Alright, let's talk about socially. How do you think Vetus did?
I think socially Vetus made great relationships up until his final tribal council.
Yeah, I think, again, socially he was one of the best. I think everyone liked Vetus, which is one of the reasons why they wanted to get him out. I think he was very likable. He let people in. He was open to them, which made people trust him. And then, yeah, I think at that point, and I don't think many people held it against him at that point. They had essentially told him he was getting voted out, and he was just, you know, getting anything he could.
Right.
Scratching it by. So I don't think that hurt his social game. He was already doomed before then. So I thought socially he's one of the best players of the season, I think.
I'd agree. I feel like if he had come back from Redemption Island, he would have had a really good shot.
Absolutely. Let's go with physically.
Vetus?
Yep.
I mean, clearly one of the physically dominant people of the season. He won an individual immunity. He, you know, he did well pre-merge. He was not the reason his tribe was losing so often. Did well physically.
Yeah, I think it's hard to tell, you know, that much as far as an individual, because the challenges he was there for were memory and bug eating. But I think he definitely proved capable of puzzles, for sure, on Redemption Island and all that stuff. And I think he clearly would have made it forward if there hadn't been an alliance against him.
I feel like you're right. I mean, I should also note that, like, I've tried that puzzle. In fact, I have a copy of it right here. I'm holding it right now. It's difficult. It is a difficult... I mean, we've talked to Edna about this on the podcast before, because this was also the puzzle that put her out. It is not an easy puzzle, assuming that my four blocks are the same pattern. It's hard, and so I think Vetus and Laura M and Tina all did a really great job doing the puzzle, and yeah, I'm assuming that took a long time.
Yeah, well, and I think Vetus apparently, after he got out, he did some research on it, and there was like there were thousands upon thousands of different ways that they could all go. So to find the one and only one that, you know, lines them up perfectly is very difficult.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to entertainment factor. How entertaining was Vetus to you?
Oh, I thought he was phenomenally entertaining. I mean, he was the clear winner's edit pre-merge, with the exception of probably Tyson. I felt like the editors gave him quite a few great confessionals that had nothing to do with strategy. I just thought was great.
Yeah. Again, very entertaining. I mean, he's not a coach or a Phillip with someone who's, like, crazy and he's entertaining because of the train wreck. He's entertaining because he's good. Just like he opened up with the people on the island, he opened up in his confessional, because you really got a sense of know him, know where his head was at. And you were, even though, you know, I really like Tyson and Jervis, I was also rooting for Vetus. I mean, he definitely had a likability factor, and you wanted to see him succeed, and I thought he was very entertaining on the show.
Agreed.
So, if you could change one thing about his time on Survivor, him this season, what would it be?
That's hard. I mean, besides his placement in the game.
Yeah. And you can say nothing. You can say, you know, Vetus was the perfect, I wouldn't change anything.
That's a difficult...
Maybe it's you wish they would have shown, you know, more of him in this area or sense or something
like
that.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
always going to be a trade-off, right? Like, who are you going to show where, and how is that going to affect the overall game? I wouldn't change much about Vetus. I think he had a good game. I wish that maybe he would have tried to make an alliance with Tina and Katie, because I think that would have been a really entertaining alliance to watch. But other than that, I think he played a pretty solid game. Was the victim of a mutiny against his brother. You can't really blame him for that, you know.
Well, yeah, all you can blame him for is wholeheartedly going with his brother's plan instead of, you know,
right.
Branching out. But for me, the thing I would change is when the tribe swap happened and he was on the other tribe, I would have actually liked to see some scenes of him strategically talking with Tina and Katie, because it was sort of, we saw him being cocky and said, oh yeah, he's safe. We saw them, you know, the girls turning on each other, but we never really saw him making any sort of deals or alliances with, you know, those girls. And I'm sure there was.
Right.
I wish we could have seen some more of the strategic side of that.
That's fair. I don't disagree with you. Oh my gosh.
What?
I just finished the puzzle, I think.
I thought something terrible happened.
No, I think I just did it. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I did it.
How long have you had this puzzle and been trying to do it?
I've had it since Christmas of last year, so almost a year. But I don't really use it much. I just pulled it out right when I told you that I had it. I can't believe that.
Well, congratulations, Jeff. Is this the first time you've beaten it?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm never letting it fall apart. Sorry about that diversion. That's totally staying on the podcast, David. Go.
All right, last question for Vetus. Would you like to see him return again?
Absolutely. I think it's going to happen no matter what.
I really hope so. I really like Vetus. I would love to see him come back again. I would like to see him on a season without Aris. I enjoyed Aris this season as well, but it'd sort of be cool to see him on his own.
I agree.
All right, let's move on to the next person out, Caleb. Standout moments from Caleb this season.
I mean, obviously, Caleb's standout moment this season was his tribal council where he got rid of Brad. Beyond that, not much.
Yeah, anything from these past two episodes?
Not really. I mean, he tried to lead a mutiny and failed. It's the story that many people in the Survivor annals of history have faced.
Yeah, I mean, even in his boot episode, he didn't get that much airtime. I guess some standouts were him sort of calling out Tyson and Jervis at Redemption Island.
Right.
Who knows what that means, but it was interesting, to say the least. And,
you know, at this point, people are just repeating things that everyone already knows. Like, yeah. Everyone knows Tyson and Jervis are fine. Like,
yeah. Well, and then Jervis just, turned it around back on us.
Right.
Not much to go from there. The other thing that stood out to me was in the duel when, you know, he was clearly beating Tina and then it fell over with 30 seconds to go. Yeah, he still kept, you know, building and kept trying until the last second. I thought that was admirable. He never gave up.
You know what I would have done? I would have just stacked the dominoes. If I were in his position, you only have like a minute left. Stack them on their side. Like, just stack them like you got them, just in one big pile, and hope that Tina's falls over. Like, you're going to get at least some height off of that. Don't try to build.
Yeah.
In fact, had it not been a Redemption Island duel and just an immunity challenge, that may have been my strategy from the beginning. And just hope that everyone else falls over.
Yeah, but at a certain point, even with those, it will become a lot less stable the higher up you go. So I don't know how far you can go without making a structure.
That's fair.
We'll have to do the challenge one time, Jeff.
I actually have the challenge right here, David. I can do it for you. That was a joke.
The stacking challenge?
That was a joke. I'm just going to claim that I own every single challenge.
There you go. I was like, I guess you could have a deck of cards, but I don't think your strategy would work for that one. Look, well, you got a deck tight. All right. other than that, I mean, yeah, he didn't really have that many standout moments in his boot episode. It was just like, yep, we targeted Caleb. Okay, bye, Caleb.
His skin is pretty awesome.
Yes, it is, yep. let's see, how do you think Caleb did strategically?
It was fine. I think if he had stayed with the Tyson Jervis thing, if he had waited around or something like that, he'd have been a lot better off.
I actually think, in the long scheme of things, I actually think it was a mistake to vote Brad out. I think that was more of an emotional impulse decision, and I think that would have created a huge target, and he would have still, come merge time, if Brad was still there at the merge, everyone would be gunning for him, you know? And I think that would have maybe helped him.
I agree with you, because that would have taken Monica down, too, and you know how I feel about Monica.
Yeah. So, and then in merge time, he seemed to just follow, you know, what other people said. He wasn't really making that many waves, or what it seemed, anyways, you know. So,
right.
I'm thinking, he's not a horrible strategist, so I'd say he's sort of middle of the road. He's nothing special, though.
Right.
Socially.
I think he played a fine social game. Everyone seemed to like him. Yeah, I think he'd have done. I don't know that he would have done great on a jury vote, but I think feel like that's less because of his social game and more because of his lack of strategic game.
Yeah, I think he was very good socially. I think everyone liked him. I think that's part of the reason why he maybe went before Hayden. I think people were like, his only downfall socially is sometimes he was a little quiet, and apparently people thought that they couldn't really read him or what he was thinking. So, him being a little too quiet may have hurt him. That was the only thing socially. But I think everyone really liked him and got to know him and appreciated him for who he was.
Agreed.
Physically.
That's about it.
Yeah. Pretty, again, middle of the road physically. I mean, he wasn't horrible at any of the challenges, but he definitely wasn't standing out.
Agreed.
Entertainment factor.
Very, very entertaining. I especially liked his comment when Jeff Probst asked him, what's similar about you and Colton? And his only answer was, well, we're both men.
Yeah.
But,
I would say, you know, he was one of the ones that got a little less airtime this season, but I still thought he brought a lot to the season. I enjoyed his character. He was entertaining to me, but he wasn't like, you know, oh my goodness, he's so amazing, entertaining.
Right, agreed.
I wouldn't put him on the same page as Divas.
No, I mean, he was one of those characters who, you know, he won't be brought back, but every time you watch Blood vs. Water, you'll be happy he's there.
Yeah. Well, anything that you would change about him on the show this season?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think maybe maybe adding a few more confessionals here or there just so we got to know him a little more and what he was thinking, I think it could have helped. They didn't even need to be that long, which is a little more so we were reminded, especially some of those Nola episodes, you know, he didn't get to talk at all. So just a couple confessionals to remind us that he was there and he was still part of the game.
That's fair.
Again, you know, most of these things that I'm changing is showing, giving people more time, and obviously with the amount of time on the show, it's not always possible, but...
They can always take the time away from Monica.
They could only extend, you know, the show to 90 minutes every episode. I'd be okay with that.
Agreed! I'm agreeing with you on so many things, David.
Sorry. At least you're not saying fair, like you usually do.
Fair usually expresses disagreement but acceptance of the logic.
Yeah. And most of the time you disagree with me but accept it.
Right.
So I'm glad I'm getting agreed as opposed to fair.
Agreed.
Alright, next one. Would you like to see him return?
Like I said, I don't think there's a need for him to return. I wouldn't be upset if they picked him, but I don't feel a need for him to return.
Yeah, I feel the same way. If Colton, or not Colton, no Colton. If Caleb was on a season again, I'd be like, oh cool, Caleb's back. But it's not like when I pick the next All-Star season, Caleb's not going to be at the top of my list, right?
Right.
All right, let's move on to some people on Redemption Island. Let's start with Tina.
You know how I feel about Tina, David. Tina is my one true love in this world. What?
Anything from the past two episodes that stand out about Tina?
I mean, I feel bad because I feel like she's been shown to be like she's not deserving to be there, right? She only won the one duel because Laura helped her. She won the other duel because Caleb's sack happened to fall down. 30 seconds left. But I feel like Tina still has a shot to win. I just do. I feel like if she makes the jury, I think she's got it in the bag.
You mean the final?
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
She makes the jury. She does not have it in the bag.
If she makes it in the jury, Jeff Probst is going to be so ecstatic that he's going to pull her off the jury, put her in the final three, and let her make her case. So no, but
also, you got to think. However, wherever she ends up, this has to be a very satisfying season for her compared to All-Stars, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't held against her that she won. She got to play the game, and ultimately she chose the wrong side.
Right.
So, no matter how it ends up, I think I'm very happy for Tina and how she played this season. I think she's got to be, you know, at least like, wow, that was fun. I actually got to play. It wasn't All-Stars again.
They gave me a chance.
Strategically, how do you think she did?
I'm going to say the same thing with her that I did about Vetus. Obviously, better strategically pre-merge than she was post-merge. I think that she and Aris really benefited from the lack of chaos that happened on the original Galong tribe. And I think that was a lot her doing. You know, she understood the fact that if everyone was happy, then no one was angry. So I feel like she did that well. Definitely a different approach to strategy than we've seen in the past. Post-merge... I mean, you can't really fault her. Like, Laura Emmons here, I chose not to go with her. Maybe her fault, maybe not. She just got voted out, you know? I feel like she did a good job stating her case. I think she was the closest that... She was much closer than they ever... She was much closer to getting Vetus... Sorry. She was much closer to getting Monica voted out than Vetus ever was. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I was sad that her boot episode was a double boot.
Yeah. Her whole thing was, her strategy was very spot on. She chose an alliance, and unfortunately, you know, just certain people turned against it. So the only thing you can fault her strategically is not being aware that the other people were turning.
Right.
But other than that, I think she had her alliance stay together, she was in a very good position and potentially could have gone all the way. So I think strategically she played very well. And I think her only fault could be socially a little bit at the end there after Aris got out. But even then. I think she played a very solid strategic game. Social game, I think everyone liked her. She seemed to be doing well until she started yelling at Tyson after Aris got out. Let her anger go. I think that's the only time where maybe her social game slipped a little bit. But other than that, I thought socially she's played very well.
Agreed.
And physically, you know, she's not the greatest physically, but she's surviving on Redemption Island.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone expected her to make it this far. I gotta be honest with you.
Well, when it was Aris, Beavis, and Tina, everyone was like, well, bye, Tina, you know.
That one she won on her own. You can't even make an argument that that one was unfair.
No, and for the most of it, she was in the lead, you know.
Yeah.
Just had a slip-up right at the very end, but yeah. So, she definitely is much better physically than a lot of people give her credit for.
I'll agree with that. I mean, and you also have to remember, she's one of the best endurance competitors ever. If she gets an endurance Redemption Island challenge, I have no doubt she'll win first place. Especially if it's standing on a pole like she had to do in Australia. She would have stood on that pole for 13 years if they told her it would have won her the $1 million. Like,
I think her and Laura M are definitely neck and neck.
Sure.
I think it could be either one of them, but I think they'll blow anyone else out of the water. Entertainment-wise?
Oh, I mean, I love Tina.
Yeah. I think she brought what we were looking for in Tina. She had some snippy comments, but, you know, lovely and sweet, too. Just sort of what we saw at Australia. So I think she brought a lot to the season. I thought it was very interesting to see her dynamic with Katie. So I thought she definitely, you know, brought the entertainment factor again this season.
Agreed.
Anything you would have liked to see changed about Tina this season?
Again, other than her placement, I'd like to see more from her at the beginning of the season. I just love her attitude about the game and life. I also thought her comments about Katie and Vetus were kind of funny. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't think I'd have that much to change about Tina. I think she got a fairly good edit the whole time. We got to see her, you know, almost every episode, got to see what she was thinking, where she was coming from. So, yeah, and I'm excited to see how much farther she can make it on Redemption Island, and maybe she'll even come back to this.
Let's cross our fingers.
Anything, all right, would you like to see Tina return again?
Yes.
I think if Tina's returning again, it needs to be a while for me. I think I do appreciate her and enjoy her on the season, but I don't know if I, like, need her back, you know.
But, like, an all-winter season?
Yeah, all-winters for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Go.
All right, so let's now talk about some Laura M. Any stand-ups from this past two episodes? We obviously talked about the one where she helped Tina, you know, make it the end. There's not too many other standouts. You know, she's just been on Redemption Island. The only thing you could say is, once again, she dominates in the card stacking challenge.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Laura M. I think you know that, but she's doing well. You can't fault her for doing well on Redemption Island. I don't think Sierra wants her to come back from Redemption Island, I gotta be honest, but...
Yeah. Well, maybe, though. Yeah, I mean, if Hayden gets voted out, I think she would love to have her mom back, just because, at that point, anyone she knows that will work with her, you know. And maybe, and that would guarantee her final four, because they'll be like, well, let's get Laura M off again, and not Sierra.
Agreed, yep. And again, I think it would be really bad for Sierra's game. For Laura M to come back while she's in there. I mean, in the final five, it's going to be so easy for those three people to vote the two of them off.
Yeah, I can see that. But at the same time, I think if Sierra's in the final four with those three and whoever comes back, I think it's a lose-lose-lose-lose situation.
Probably fair.
I think no matter who comes back, those three are staying together. I think the only chance is if Monica were to swing this episode. You know, I think down to four, I don't think it's possible.
I don't necessarily agree with you. I think that the person could make a pretty compelling appeal to Jervis or Tyson that one of those two is the winner, but do you really want to risk it being the other person by sitting next to them in the final three? And I feel like Jervis would be more susceptible to that logic than Tyson would.
Really? Because I think Jervis knows if Sierra's in the finals with her, Sierra will beat him, you know?
Sure, but let's pretend Laura M or Tina comes back, and it's a Jervis, Laura M or Tina, and Monica final three. Jervis is, I think, the clear winner. Maybe Tina. But I think that he has a much better shot against those two than he would against Tyson or Sierra.
Agreed. I think he needs to keep Monica no matter what, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the appeal he needs to make to Monica, too, which is like, you know, Tyson's going to take this thing, and there's nothing we can do about it except for vote him out right now. And so an alliance of Jervis, Monica, and Redemption Island returnee, whoever that may be, would be great for both of them.
Yeah. Do I think it's going to happen, though? No.
No, of course not. It never does.
Yeah. But how do you think Laura did strategically, socially, physically this season?
Pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, strategically, obviously she was the first one voted out of her own tribe. So she wasn't doing that good strategically pre-merge. Post-merge, it looked like she was just deferring to her daughter the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So strategically, I'm thinking not good. And she voted out for the second time. Socially, again, I think she rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Wasn't the most, you know, endearing. So I don't think she did that well socially either. I mean, her own daughter wanted to vote her out.
Yeah.
But physically, obviously, she's been dominating. Like, she already came back from Redemption once. She could very well come back again. She's been winning every challenge, you know, since she's been back there. So you got to give it to her. She is doing very well physically. And I don't know if it's physical as much as mental and puzzle solving, but yeah.
Yeah.
Entertainment-wise.
Again, I was never very entertained by her in either of her two seasons, so.
I will say this. I thought it was very compelling to watch her relationship with Sierra. I thought it was cool to see their dynamic. I thought it was cool to see, you know, how it was affecting her for her daughter to be on the other tribe. But I think if it was just her individually, it would be a lot less entertaining.
I agree.
So, anything that you would change about Laura M so far this season?
I don't know. I don't know that she should have been as visible as she was. Like, her relationship with Sierra was compelling, but beyond that, what did she really provide for the game besides being voted out by her daughter?
Well, someone to get voted out.
Right.
to win Redemption Island.
Yeah.
This far. So, I mean, they can't really make her invisible after she keeps winning all these challenges.
Right, I agree.
Would you like to see Laura M return again?
No.
Yeah, probably not. I think the only way I'd like to see her return again is if she somehow made it to the final. Like, if she managed to come back from Redemption Island again and somehow convince them or won enough challenges to get to the final, then I could see maybe bringing her back again. But as it stands right now, I don't really want to see her back.
Agreed.
All right, let's move on to Katie. Stand out from Katie the past two episodes.
I mean, obviously being the second ever victim of Purple Rock.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be honest, I don't know how good of an idea it was to put a young blonde girl in a club exclusively with Pascal. But, you know, to each their own.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry, I had to make that joke.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, she hasn't done anything super entertaining these past two episodes. I mean, you had the thing where she gave up not having the idol to... Oh, that was three episodes ago. That wasn't even two episodes ago. Yeah, what did Katie really do these past two episodes besides get purple rock, or black rock, white rock, whatever it was?
Not much.
Not much. Like, she didn't... I don't think she even got a confessional the episode she got out.
Nope.
So, essentially, Katie got white rocked and...
Yeah, I mean, I really liked Katie a lot. I liked her story. I thought that she was a fun character to have around. I wish she'd been a little bit more visible, though, because I think if we had gotten more of that, maybe we would have felt a little bit worse when she got out.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that answers what would we change. Yeah, make her a little more visible. But, strategic, social, physical?
Strategic... Not terrible. I think she could have done a little bit more post-merge and pre-merge. I think more than anything, she was on a losing battle in those instances. Not, it wasn't necessarily bad strategy. It was more, she just...
She didn't have a lot of options.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, again, she's sort of middle of the road strategically, middle of the road socially. I mean, no one really disliked her, but they weren't raving about her either. Physically, again, she was middle of the road. She won that one coin stacking challenge, but I think she's just sort of one of those middle of the road players all around. Entertainment wise,
I mean, like I said before, I really enjoyed Katie. I liked her interactions with her mom a lot. But again, if they had shown her more, I think people would have warmed up to her a little bit better.
Yeah. It's not her fault, but she just wasn't entertaining because they didn't show her being entertaining, you know?
Right.
They didn't really show her at all, and they sort of went out of their way to sort of always show her that she wasn't really in the group. Like, she's always sort of on the outs.
Right.
The only time she wasn't was after the tribe swap when she was with her mom.
Yes, correct.
Would you like to see Katie return?
On the condition that she gets more airtime, yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't want her to get the same edit she did this time.
Right.
Definitely agree. Well, let's move on to Sierra. Any standouts from the past two episodes about Sierra?
None at all. Nothing I can think of at all.
Oh, well, then I got some, Jeff.
Really? Do you, David?
I have not been watching these episodes. But, yeah, I think she's been sort of a focal point of the past three or four episodes, but definitely these two. I mean, she's someone who I think definitely wants to play the game, but obviously made the right move too late. You know, obviously it would have been much smarter for her to side with Hayden, Caleb, and Katie, I think, and get rid of Tyson. And then keep Monica and Jervis and sort of maybe find a way and break them up. The Hayden and Caleb up. Maybe say, Katie, we can't let both of them get to the end. We need to break them up just like we did Tyson and Jervis. I think there would have been a better way, but just to say, you know, I'm supporting Tyson because, you know, the other ones are flip-floppers, you know. I don't think that was a good move. And she finally figured it out, but it was at Tribal Council when there were six, and then you had to draw Purple Rock, so.
Right.
Any other standout moments for you?
I mean, obviously, I think everything you said was pretty much exactly, like, I think it would have been a lot more interesting had Sierra been the one who was purple rocked out, or white rocked, or whatever color rock they used. That would have just made a much tighter end to the episode, I think, to really pull together the fact that she made the wrong move and make Tyson look like the best winner. Obviously, that's not an editing issue, that's just a luck issue, but...
Yes. Reality of what happened.
Right.
Yeah, I think another standout was when she sort of chose not to participate in the challenge. I know she sort of got some flack from some people for that, you know, for not participating, and then you know, it caught on that, you know, she was not with the other one, so then they tried to change the vote her out, which again probably wasn't the best thing. If you're going to play both sides, you need to do a better job of it so they don't turn on you. But other than that, like, she's been at the forefront, she's been in all the sort of decision making and all the stuff, but I don't know if there's like a specific moment that really stands out, other than we've sort of really gotten to see her mindset and her sort of interactions with everyone.
Yes, I agree.
Strategically, socially, physically, what do you think of Sierra?
Strategically bankrupt, socially not bad, physically terrible.
Yeah, physically terrible. She's probably the worst one left in the game, and maybe one of the worst ones this whole season. And it's not that she's like, you know, like super weak or anything, but just compared to everyone else who really is competitive and, you know, has something specific to offer, she really doesn't have a lot. She doesn't have physical strength. She doesn't seem to be, you know, very good at puzzles or mental things. And all the endurance ones we've seen her in, she hasn't lasted that long. So I can't say she did that well physically. Socially, I think everyone likes her. I think she's an endearing and engaging person. So I think she's done really well socially, and that's why she's managed to stay. I mean, that's sort of even why Caleb switched and got Brad out instead of her, because he really connected with Sierra and didn't really want to see her go, and Brad, you know, scared him. So, and strategically, like, I think she's really trying, but again, she made the right move too late.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that I've never been so, like, down on another player's game, yet think that they have such a good chance to win. Like, I don't think Sierra's played a good game, but maybe she has, because she definitely has a shot if she goes to the end with the right people.
Yeah, and I chalk that up to she's very good socially.
Right.
And, everyone likes her. Everyone wants... It's sort of like, even no matter what she does, you want to see her do well, which is always a great thing.
Oh, yeah, I like her very much.
Yeah, it's sort of like JT syndrome in Token Sheens. You know, he was on the outs, but everyone wanted him to do well, you know?
Oh, I disagree. I think it's more like JT in Heroes versus Villains, where you're like, no, what are you doing? You're too wonderful to do that.
Yeah, but then everyone didn't want him to make it to the end, though.
That's fair.
In Heroes versus Villains. It's somewhere in between. Let's go with that. Entertainment-wise, I think she's definitely brought it one of the most entertaining characters this season, that's for sure.
Agreed.
I mean, just to see her, you know, struggle with everything and go through it, and her relationship with her mom, and then her relationship with others, and how she's trying to deal with the game, I think has been very compelling and entertaining to watch. Would you like to see Sierra return?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the pool for guys returning is much larger than the pool for girls, so I think Sierra has a very good shot at returning.
I would agree.
All right, let's move on then to Hayden. Hayden. Any standouts of Hayden the past two episodes?
I mean, obviously, he was the one who led the charge to get Sierra to vote for... to vote for Monica, so he played a very integral part in getting Katie voted out.
Yeah, I mean, he fought his heart out to stay in the game, and that's, you can't really ask for anything else. He was in a horrible position, you know, he tried to make a move, it didn't work, so he backpedaled, and then that didn't work, and they turned on his alliance, and he fought to the bitter end, and it did work. You know, he convinced Sierra, you know, that she needed to switch, and, even though, you know, he's not on the numbers now, he went from, you know, being sixth place to at least fifth, potentially fourth, and who knows.
Right.
So.
I think he's another person who has a very good shot at winning if he makes it to the end. He'll get votes.
Absolutely. How do you think he's done strategically, socially, physically?
Good, great, okay.
He seems like such a physical guy, yet there's only been really one challenge that he's really been close at, right? The one where he's sort of winding up that thing in endurance and holding it.
Right.
He was sort of close.
Right.
But socially, yeah, I think everyone likes him. Again, as someone who, you know, even though you recognize him that he's a threat, he's very likable and you want to keep him around. He's not ruffling feathers or rustling feathers. Well, let's talk about that. That's a very standout moment, Jeff.
Which one?
Rustling versus ruffling.
Yeah, that was great. One of the funniest moments in recent Survivor history. I mean, just hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just intense battling, trying to save himself. And then you just hear Tyson go...
You mean Russell.
It's Rutling. You mean Ruffle. What? You said Russell. That's a name. You meant Ruffle.
As in R-U-S-T-L-E.
Yeah, that was funny. What? It was just sort of out of nowhere. And then we're like, okay, back to the action. Oh, but that was great. Those are the type of moments that I love, that don't really necessarily have to do with strategy, but they're just sort of funny, and I'm glad they include those in there.
Agreed.
Because it could have been very easy to edit that out, you know, just stick with, you know, him, Queen, and Sierra having the turmoil, but...
Yeah, it definitely broke up the tension.
Yeah, it was great. All in all, I really loved this past episode. I think if I hadn't been spoiled as much... because the Survivor preview spoiled a lot.
Oh, it spoiled everything except for who went home.
Yeah. That was a little disappointing. I think it would have been a lot more entertaining to see. Because even when, like, we were speculating it could be a Purple Rock, you know, you don't always know until they show a preview where it shows people putting their hands out with Rock. And then you're like, well, that's a little lackluster. But, yeah, back to him, yeah. Socially, I think he's good. Strategically, I think he's sort of the thing where he wants to make moves and tries to make moves, but it's never really a great time to do it, and he never really has the power to do it.
Right.
So, entertainment-wise, what do you think of Hayden?
I think he's entertaining enough. He's been more the narrator than anything this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's one, though, that I think has every episode just about, he's always had at least one confessional. We've always seen something from him in his thoughts and sort of how he's looking at the game at the moment. So I think he's been a very visible presence this season. I've enjoyed him. I liked him on Big Brother. I liked him on this. I predicted him to win. Before the game, so I think he's definitely been very entertaining, and his entertainment factor definitely shot up this past episode.
Yes, I agree.
Would you like to see Hayden return again?
He wouldn't be on the top of my list, but I wouldn't be upset if he returned.
I sort of like to see Hayden return. I think on a different season it could be interesting to see how he plays. Obviously, he's not the most sort of outspoken, abrasive type person. When he makes an alliance, he's sort of more under the radar and low-key, so it's a little less of a, you know, entertainment we have to bring him back factor, but I do enjoy him this season, and I would be very happy to see him back.
Agreed.
Alright, let's move on to Monica. Standouts from Monica these past two episodes?
No.
She won a challenge.
Okay.
She ate some ice cream. That's pretty much it. We haven't seen that much of Monica at all.
I'm not a big Monica fan.
And you used to be, Jeff. What happened?
I was okay with her returning, but this season I realized why she was probably voted out. I don't know. She just rubs me the wrong way.
She's ruffled your feathers.
She has rustled my feathers.
Okay. But, she's been sort of the low-key person these past two episodes, along with Katie. We haven't seen that much from her. It's sort of been Jervis and Tyson versus Hayden and Caleb with Sierra in the middle, and then, oh, look, Katie and Monica are there, too. So, she continues, what has she won, three challenges or four now?
Three.
physically challenges. So she's obviously, we can move on to the thing. Physically, she's been doing very well. Anything endurance-y, you know, she's been very excelling at. And can I say, I am so grateful that we're finally, we got down the final six, and we finally had a challenge that wasn't just standing there.
It was a cool challenge, but it wasn't very physical.
I don't even need physical, but literally, since the merge from 12 feet, or from 11 people down to 6, everyone has been literally just standing there.
That's
fine. So I was just glad that they were walking.
I agree.
But socially, I think Monica's been playing pretty horrible.
Yeah. I mean, I think worst social game of the season, besides Colton.
Very paranoid, can be sort of annoying to people. I don't really think she stands that much of a chance at all if she makes it to the end.
Agreed.
And strategically, at least she was sort of smart to jump ship over to Tyson and wasn't on the sinking ship of Tina's and Aris' group. But other than that, she's just been sort of puppy dogging it, following whatever Tyson and Jervis say. And before that, she was just sort of puppy dogging the other people. So.
Mm-hmm.
Would you? Entertainment factor for Monica.
Not entertaining.
I think there was a couple episodes, you know, even though she was annoying, she was sort of entertaining for a few episodes, but especially when they showed nothing of her, and she wasn't like super entertaining, you know, the in the pre-merge even. So yeah, I'd say her entertainment factor was low. She had a couple stand-up moments that were entertaining to me, but she was not a consistent deliverer of entertainment.
Agreed.
Would you like to see Monica Kim?
Do I need to answer that question, David?
So Jack said yes. However, I will say no. I think I've gotten my fill of Monica, and I don't really want to see her back.
Oh, dear.
Just say agree, Jeff, and we'll move on.
I agree.
All right, let's go to the next two. Let's go with Jervis Never Nervous Peterson, although we have seen him sort of at least be agitated and frustrated.
Jervis Somewhat Nervous Peterson.
Any standouts from the past two episodes?
Yeah, obviously winning immunity. I think he's had a lot of good quotes at Tribal Council. Maybe should be a little bit more candid than he is being, though.
Obviously, the standout for me was him, you know, yelling when he was voting for Haydun and, you know, saying, don't hate the player, hate the game, homie, and this is Survivor, not Big Brother. And then another standout moment was, you know, when after Kale got voted out and Haydun called them out, and then, you know, Jervis starts yelling, you know, Tyson wouldn't have been done anything if it wasn't for me and all this stuff. You know, I don't really think that helped Jervis's case. I don't think that swung that well. Yeah, you're right, Jervis. You are the mastermind. I'm sorry we've been attributing it to Tyson.
Right. That was great. Yeah, I think Jervis, like, physically, he's had such a weird game. Like, he was really, really struggling in,
First couple episodes,
yeah, but then ended up coming back winning immunity in a fairly, I mean, a challenge that required a lot of balance and concentration and whatnot. So an odd physical game, nonetheless.
Well, if you remember, the reward challenge that Jervis won in his first season was balance beam. So apparently he does have a gymnastic background growing up, so that's something he is really good at, is balance. So don't put Jervis up against Chris Daugherty in a balancing competition.
Yeah, I agree. That would be great to watch.
It would be over very fast.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, socially, I don't think Jervis has been doing that well. Like I said, I think he's been a little too outspoken and aggressive to people, and I think that could hurt him. For a while, I thought he was doing good. I thought there was a chance that even people like Aris, you know, could maybe vote for him over Tyson, because I think Aris trusted Jervis more. So it was sort of like, oh, you really got me. You pulled the wool over my eyes. Good job. But I think he's sort of slowly losing that any chance he has at winning.
I don't know. I think he still has a shot. If he goes with Tyson, he doesn't. But if he goes with, like, a Monica and whoever comes back from Redemption Island, I think he's got a good shot. Or, like, Monica and maybe Sierra or Hayden. Maybe. I think he has a shot.
Yeah. I guess I was mainly comparing it up against Tyson. That I think Tyson... I thought for a while it was even, and maybe Jervis maybe had a slight advantage because he got... he was maybe a little more closer of a bond than they and everything, but I think now with his sort of comments and everything, I think Tyson is above him as far as advantage and final travel.
Yeah, it's also, you also have to remember though that like Tina, Laura, Caleb haven't been watching tribal councils, which I think does affect the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who knows? Like you said, maybe. Maybe Jervis wins, but I highly doubt it just the way they're editing him. Like,
that's fair.
But yeah, I don't think he's a goat by any means. He's not Monica.
I agree. I would agree.
So strategically, I think he did a good move teaming up with Tyson. I didn't think it was beneficial for him to take down Aris and everything. So strategically, I think he's made all the right moves. I think he just needs to make another one to really solidify his strategic game.
I'd agree with that.
This was all he did.
And that strategic move is taking Monica and the Redemption Island winner and going to the final three with them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Entertainment-wise?
Very entertaining. I mean, one of the most entertaining characters of this season.
Yeah, for sure. I love seeing Jervis. Every time he speaks, he's entertained. I mean, he brings a lot to the season, whether it's being him outspoken and crazy or just seeing his strategic side and him actually dealing with strategy that he didn't really do in the very first season. I think it's just been very entertaining all around. And, of course, Coconut Bandit stuff I just love.
Oh, of course. I love it.
Yeah. All right, and would you like to see Jervis return again?
Again, not at the top of my list, but I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah, again, it's sort of like Tina for me. I don't need to see him in the next two seasons, but a couple seasons down the line, I'd be like, oh, cool, Jervis is back.
Right.
Like, there's some people, like Jonathan Penner, who I could almost see every season. Like, they're just that fascinating for me to watch and how they interact. But there's other people that I enjoy watching them, but I wouldn't want to see them on every season.
Agreed.
Let's talk about the last person, Tyson. Standouts from Tyson the past two episodes?
Obviously, you know, willing to go to Purple Rocks is a big part of it.
Yeah. Another big one was playing the idol, then finding another idol. And having a very sort of emotional confessional, which we hadn't seen for a while, him talking about Rachel and him, you know, promised to make it to the end after he didn't switch with her. I thought that was a very key scene. I thought they put that there either to set up him winning or to set up him losing to the Purple Rock. So I think since he did not lose to the Purple Rock, I think he in my mind is the most likely to win. I think everyone else is a distant second at this point.
Agreed. There's just no one else. Like, everyone could win if he's not there, but the chances of him not being there right now are so low.
Yeah, absolutely. Strategically, socially, physically, what do you think of Tyson?
Strategically, socially, physically, I'd say good on all three. His social game needs work. I'm not exactly what he is doing with his, like, that's your seat over there.
Yeah.
But
here's my thought on that. And This is all speculation. I don't know anything. But my thought was Hayden has been calling him out and Tyson out. And they're all saying Tyson's the forefront to win. He's got to win in a landslide. So I think he did that for the other people sitting there so that they were thinking, oh, maybe he's not as likable. Maybe he's burning bridges. So I think it creates less of a chance that Jervis and Monica are going to switch. So I think it's sort of maybe subconsciously playing in their mind, well, maybe he isn't likable. Look what he did to Katie. She's probably not going to vote for him. You know, things like that. So I thought, and again, this is speculation, maybe he just, you know, was shaken up by the whole Purple Rock thing that he wanted to, you know, put a little jab in there. But I think it was, I thought it was purposely so that the other people, specifically Jervis and Monica, would think maybe he is okay to go to the finals.
Right.
But, yeah, I think he's been playing really well. He still has an idol, so, I mean, obviously, I think he's going to play it next time or the time after, right? You can only use it up to the final five. But since there's two final fives.
The idol?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But since there's two final fives, I guess you could technically use it on the second final five.
Yes, I think that's... I believe that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, strategically, he's the one in control. I think he's made all the right moves so far. And if none of the other players are smart, then he's going to be coasting to the end. Physically, I think he's been purposely downplaying it a little bit. I think he doesn't care that much about the challenges because he doesn't want to be perceived also as a challenge threat in addition to, you know, strategic social threat. So, you know, if you look at the challenges, he's been doing pretty poorly as in the individual portion. But I think that's a strategy on his part.
I don't disagree.
I mean, part of it is, too, Monica's really good at endurance challenges, but I don't think Tyson's, you know, trying his hardest to beat her. Oh, especially the one where he and Jervis gave up the challenge to eat food, so obviously he didn't care that much.
Exactly, that's what I'm thinking. It's just so difficult, I think, at this point. There's so many factors that are going into it.
Entertainment-wise, obviously, he's sort of been the star of the season, I think. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. Vetus, I think, was the pre-merge star. He's the post-merge star.
Yeah. There was a couple episodes at the end of the pre-merge where they were sort of... he was rising. And then, he sort of took it over right at the merge. But, yeah. Very entertaining. Would you like to see him return again?
Yes, I do. Although, you know, see, I would, but I don't want him dominating a season again. I love his humor, but I'm gonna go with yes.
I'm gonna go with an all winner season, sure, or a best of the best season, sure. But I don't want him again on fans versus favorites, or another blood versus water, or something like that. Or
that's
two
fair.
Returning players. If he comes back again, I want him to be up against formidable foes.
That's fair.
So I think that's everyone. I don't think we've covered most of the stuff in the past two episodes. Anything else that we really missed?
I mean, just the historical context of the Purple Rock, I think, was very, very important, right? Like, I don't know if you're, like, obviously you remember, right? The Purple Rock was a huge controversy when it happened.
Yeah, this is a interesting story. I was randomly talking with my boss, and he knows that I'm a big Survivor fan, and he was telling me, yeah, we used to watch that show all the time, and until this one season where this one guy got out because he drew a rock. And after that, we're like, we don't want to watch this anymore. So that was the reason why he quit watching Survivor, was because of the Purple Rock. So it's definitely controversial.
You know, I don't think that that's an isolated incident. Like, I think that Oh, I mean, if you look at this, the ratings between Thailand and Marquesas, right? They went down, and I don't think it's just because Thailand wasn't as critically good of a season. I think it's because people got so angry at the idea of a purple rock.
Yeah, I agree. And Pascal was pretty beloved at that point. I mean, everyone really – Kathy was number one, but Pascal was definitely number two.
Yeah.
So to get Pascal and then Kathy right after him was a little disappointing.
Yeah, that was a rough final four. I mean, what do you do, though?
But I think it was – I thought that one was shocking. I think as far as an entertainment factor, it was much better than this one, where it was so entertaining up until they drew the rocks and then it was Katie. It was such a lackluster exit.
Yes, I agree. Katie was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's pretty much all we got for these past two episodes.
That's all I've got. My thoughts are depleted.
That's good. Hopefully, we're going to be talking about the next episode with Mario Lanza and Jay Fisher. We've had them for the past couple seasons now. They're going to be back, hopefully, if the stars align. We're going to be talking with them what they thought of the episode and their season so far. Plus, don't forget, this upcoming Sunday is the finale. 2 hours plus the reunion show. Who is going to win? I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I love finale night. It's always a big deal. My friend and I watch together, my only friend who watches Survivor, and we have a good time, so should be fun.
Yeah, and sometime after that, we tend to wait a little bit after the finale. We'll have some mini-casts, hopefully. We'll be talking with some people that we talked to from earlier in the season and get their thoughts at the end of what they thought of the finale and everything. So stay tuned for those as well. Thank you for listening. If you have anything that you want to talk with us or ask us or comment about, we'd love to hear from you. Check us out on our Facebook page, David and Jeff Survivor Podcast, or our website, survivorpodcast.blogspot.com.
Yes, and make sure that you check us out on iTunes as well, David and Jeff Survivor Podcast.
Yes, subscribe, like, stars, favorites.
And you can download our podcast app. It's just called Podcast, and it's where you get all your other iTunes podcasts, too. But I guarantee you, it's just for us.
Yes. So stay tuned. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back later this week to talk more about Survivor. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.